Do you want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when your life is through? I know that I do. In this episode of Grace and Focus, that's what we're going to discuss. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm so glad that you've tuned in. It's been a really great series about Jesus's parables, and I'm so glad that we've done it. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to discuss the parable of the minas in Luke 19. Here's Grace and Focus.
Welcome to Grace and Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, it's good to be here. This is Bob Wilkin.
You're Bob Wilkin.
Thank you.
We're doing this show. You know, I don't know if people realize this. Grace and Focus is part of our ministry, a wider ministry, where we actually publish a magazine. That's how we started off.
Grace and Focus Magazine.
Grace and Focus Magazine.
Which comes out every other month. And if you want to get it, just go on our website or send us an email, and we'll be happy to send it to you. If you're in the U.S., it's free. There's no charge.
Yeah, it's a print magazine. The subscription is free. We'd love to give you a print subscription. It has a bunch of great biblical thoughts, things that will challenge you and encourage you.
What email address do they send to?
Email radio@faithalone.org. But you can just sign up online at faithalone.org. And I think basically every page of our website has an opportunity.
We also have a daily blog they can sign up for at our website.
We have the Grace and Focus blog. Every day you can get a little thought, about 500 words. A lot of people who have written to us, they start off their day with a devotion based on our blog. That's been very encouraging for us, and I think it would encourage you. So we're in this parables series, Parables of Jesus. If you're tuning in for the first time, you can hear the previous episodes at our website, faithalone.org, or you can go to iTunes and subscribe to Grace and Focus. We'd encourage you to do that.
Or Stitcher.
Stitcher is another website. We're in Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27, the parable of the minas. Now, while eternal life is absolutely free, John 3:16, whosoever believes shall have everlasting life, eternal rewards is something that you earn.
And that's brought out in this passage. In fact, both parts of what you just said are in this passage. You've got two different groups, one group who are believers, and some of them are very faithful in their service, some aren't. The second group are unbelievers, and the unbelievers are excluded from the kingdom and excluded from being with the Lord, and the believers are getting into the kingdom, and they're rewarded depending on their faithfulness. So we kind of, in this one parable, have a whole lot built into it.
Just to provide some very big context here, I don't know if you remember this, but in Genesis chapter 1, when God creates man and woman, this is what God's purpose was for them, according to verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And in verse 28, it says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" It's this idea that God created man to rule over creation.
Exactly. And we're not seeing that happening the way God intended now, because Messiah isn't here now. Remember, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He was talking about the world system governed by Satan is not his system.
Right.
He's going to come again and establish his kingdom. And when he does, he's going to reward faithfulness. And this parable is looking at when he comes back.
Right. So if you've ever wondered, where did this rulership theme go from Genesis 1? Well, I think this parable is going to answer that question. So
right.
Luke chapter 19, verse 11. "Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable." That tells us that this is a parable.
Right. That's good, John.
Thank you.
I like that.
That's graduate school for you.
Yeah, it is.
"Because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately."
So it's not coming immediately.
And it's literal. They're thinking of a literal kingdom, not a metaphorical kingdom.
Right.
"Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman," that's Jesus, "went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return."
So he's talking about going to the third heaven, and he's going to come back.
Right, that far country. So he's already anticipating his departure and his return.
Right.
"So he called 10 of his servants."
Notice they're his servants.
Right. "Delivered to them 10 minas."
So he's given them all something to do business with.
Right, so it's basically money he's giving them. "And said to them, 'Do business till I come.'" So
yeah,
get to work.
A mina was about 4 months' worth of of income.
Right.
So,
so I'm going, but you better get to work, guys.
Right.
And that's Christians, right? Every
right.
Christian is in full-time ministry, whether you realize it or not. God has given you life, God has given you talents, and God expects you to serve him. Not for your salvation, that's a gift, but because your neighbors need your help and because God's going to reward you based on what you've done. Lay up your treasure in heaven, Jesus said.
Right. Now, even though it doesn't say these people are believers, in light of the Gospel of John and the entire New Testament, we know they're believers.
So he called 10 of his servants, but look at verse 14. But his citizens hated him. So these citizens, that's a different group.
Right. Now, most likely, his citizens refers to Jewish unbelievers. Now, of course, it would apply to Gentile unbelievers, too. But here, he's speaking to Jews about Jews. And
right.
so he's saying his citizens hated him. Well, you know, most of the leadership of Israel hated Jesus. They wanted to kill him, right?
Right.
So when they're hearing this, they're knowing he's talking about them.
They know who they get it. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us."
Now, why not? Why don't they want him to reign over us? Because they don't believe he's the king. They don't believe he's Messiah. They're wrong, but that's what they think. So they're unbelievers.
Verse 15, and so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants, to whom he had given the money, to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading.
Okay, now verses 16 through 26 is going to look at the judgment of three of the 10 servants. It's going to look at one that does real well, one that's kind of half-hearted, and one that does terribly.
Right.
And then after that, the final verse, verse 27, looks at the citizens who hated him. So we haven't forgotten about them. They'll
right.
come up later.
Then came the first servant, saying, "Master, your mina has earned 10 minas." Great return.
Okay, they all had this same amount, so they all had the same opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy sets the bar.
Right.
He has 10.
He started with 1 and he ends with 10. And he said to him, "Well done," or does he have 11? I don't know. And he said to him, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities." So the nobleman has the kingdom, and now he needs to delegate some of this rulership.
Exactly. And we're told, of course, that Jesus is going to delegate leadership. Remember Romans 8:17, if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer him, that we may be glorified together with him. And so being a joint heir with Christ is one who's going to rule with him. And it's not coincidental, as we see as the parable goes along. He has 10 minas, he gets 10 cities.
Mm-hmm.
His rulership is proportional to his effectiveness.
Right.
And so the idea is some people are going to rule over large geographical areas, some over small, and as we're going to see, some over none.
And the second came saying, "Master, your mina has earned 5 minas."
Okay, now this guy, I call him in my book, The Road to Reward, I call him the half-hearted servant, because this is a person who doesn't do what he could. He doesn't come up with 10, but he also doesn't just come back with 1.
Right.
So he's kind of in between. This is like the guy who was choked out by cares, riches, and the pleasures of life.
Right.
He's not fully effective, but he's got some production.
He has something. And likewise, he said to him, "You also be over 5 cities." So he gets rewarded too, but he doesn't really get the praise that the first guy does.
Right. Notice the praise is missing. You don't hear, "Well done, good servant." What you hear is, "You also be over 5 cities." And he also doesn't get 10 cities.
Right. He gets less because he earned less.
Now, he'll be glorifying Christ forever. We all will. But his opportunity to glorify Christ is half as much as the other guy.
Now, we're running out of time here, but the last servant comes, and basically, he didn't have anything. He just hid his mina away, and he didn't do any business at all with it.
And the Lord calls him a wicked servant. The first guy's called a good servant. The third guy's called a bad servant. The second guy in between doesn't hear anything about servant. And this guy is judged by the Lord. He says, "I will judge you out of your own mouth, you wicked servant." And he basically says, "You know I was going to judge you based on what you did."
Right.
And so he says, "Take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. So there's a bonus. This guy gets an 11th
city. So really, the faithful guy gets the bonus. Yeah.
Faithful guy gets a bonus. And then the people standing around say, which probably is angels, they say, Master, he has 10 minas.
As if isn't that enough?
Right. And basically, Jesus says, the one who has more will be given. And the one who doesn't have, even what he has, will be taken away. The believer who is faithful is going to be rewarded and even given bonus beyond that. But the one who is unfaithful, this is a believer who doesn't endure, is not going to rule. Remember, Paul said, 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us.
Right. You'll be in the kingdom, but you're not going to be ruling in it.
You're denied the privilege of ruling. So this third servant doesn't rule. So you have three servants. One 10 cities rulership, one 5 cities rulership, one no rulership.
Right.
But they all get into the kingdom because notice the contrast with verse 27.
So when the kingdom comes, you still have these citizens who like didn't want him to rule over him, and they sent a delegation to kind of deny it. And here's what happens to them, the citizens.
Right.
But bring here those enemies of mine. Oh, the citizens are now labeled as enemies who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me.
Notice they're not at the judgment. Bring here those enemies of mine.
Right. They were absent. They were someplace else at the time.
I would suggest where they were was in Hades, and that this is a 1,000-year interval between the judgment seat of Christ, verses 16 through 26, the judgment of church-age believers, and verse 27, which is the great white throne judgment. And slaying them in my presence, if you look at Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15, Paul says the second death is being cast into the lake of fire. So slaying them would refer to the second death. And so these people are going to be excluded from the kingdom. They're going to be judged 1,000 years later. They'll be excluded from the kingdom. So you have two groups, the believers, the unbelievers. The unbelievers, they'll be excluded from the kingdom forever. They'll experience the second death. But the believers, some will rule a lot, some will rule a little, some won't rule at all. And the challenge to you is to be one of those believers who hears the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Wouldn't that be a wonderful capstone to your life?
Thanks, Sean and Bob, for that really great discussion. And thank you so much for this entire series, which has been so exciting. Maybe you'd like to listen back through this series. If that's the case, you can do that by subscribing to our podcast. You can get our podcast on TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, or by going to faithalone.org. Subscribe to the podcast to listen to previous episodes and to stay up to date on what we're doing currently. Now, while you're at faithalone.org, I would suggest you take advantage of some of our other free resources, like our free magazine, our free teaching videos, our free ebooks. You'll notice a trend here. We also have free blog posts. We really believe in free stuff. All of these resources are designed specifically to help you grow and mature in your faith. I hope you'll take advantage of all of that and more at faithalone.org. Now, you might be interested in becoming a financial partner with our show. If that's the case, we would very much appreciate it. This show is made possible by the generous donations of listeners just like you. You can find out more at faithalone.org. Now, if you've got questions or comments or feedback, I certainly hope you'll reach out to us. We have an email address specifically designated for you to reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, I certainly hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back here the same time, same place on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.